ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. There's abundance of joy and peace, you know, in our Father's presence today, and we sure are going to, you know, have the best of Him today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please just permit me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. I hope you had a lovely day, and then it's been a glorious week up until now. It's a midweek beautiful exchange service. I want to say thank you all for coming out today. For those that are with us physically and everyone joining online, we want to say welcome. Welcome to church. Welcome to your Father's presence, where all our needs are met, where we are strengthened. The Bible speaks in Psalms 84:7, every one of them as they appear before their God in Zion, the grow from strength to strength. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. All right, today we are considering, but before I get into the topic, I want to say thank you to the pastorate. Thank you for this privilege, you know, to stand, you know, on behalf of God to bring God's word to God's people today. I trust that everything that God has in mind today for us will be delivered to full time in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, as the word comes up, please let it show in your smiles. Hallelujah. Let it show in the joy, you know, in your heart. Hallelujah. If joy is in your heart, you just show at least with a smile on your face. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, the topic before us today is the prayer of intercession. The prayer of intercession. And you know, it's not going to be complete to look at the prayer of intercession without actually praying the prayer of intercession. Amen. All right, so definitely today we would have some time to actually get to pray, you know, and intercede, you know, from the basis of the understanding we'll be gathering and getting today. Hallelujah. So last week we considered the prayer of commitment. You know, earlier on, Pastor also took us on the prayer of faith. And all of this series is to help us to get to a place where we actually strengthen, you know, our convictions, you know, in God. Hallelujah. And one of the things that the Word of God does to us each time we come to His presence is our convictions are strengthened. You know, the convictions of the things we know about God, our convictions and the promises of God, our convictions, you know, in the reality that who God is strengthened. Hallelujah. You know, our convictions about God is training. Because one of the things the devil tries to do to believers is to make us begin to doubt the things we have believed of God. You know, and anytime the devil is trying to bring us to that place, I think we should check and gather ourselves together again. Wants us to begin to question the things we first believed. Hallelujah. Wants us to begin to doubt if God is real. You know, wants us to begin to doubt if God is actually still able to do everything He has promised. And that's the devil trying to sway you off. Hallelujah. Because it definitely can't change what God has said, but it can make you doubt what God has said. Hallelujah. You know, He didn't bring something entirely new to Adam or Eve, but He just came to bring them to a place of doubt. Did God really say? Hallelujah. You know, it's that same word of God that God has said, but He wants us to get to a place of doubt. But we should always get, you know, to have a hang on our faith to strengthen our convictions. Paul got to that point and said, "For I know whom I believe." Hallelujah. God is able to save. He's able to keep, he's able to deliver every of His promises to us. Hallelujah. His promise concerning your family still holds strong. You believe that so? His promise concerning your future still holds strong. His promise concerning, you know, your marriage still holds strong. Hallelujah. His promise concerning your business and enterprise still holds strong. Hallelujah. God is able to make all grace, you know, that we always have in all sufficiency. We are bound onto every good works. Hallelujah. Anytime it looks like we feel weak, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen and amen. He never leaves us alone to ourselves. He's always there to strengthen us. He's always there to help us. He's always there to just see to it that we become everything that He wants us to be. Glory to God. Are you glad God's got your back? And then God's your front. He got you all around. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. All right. So today, like I said, we're considering the prayer of intercession. And it's going to be a great time in it together today. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, trust me also, I've also done some prayers of intercession before I came here today so that we can actually live what we are actually here to say. Amen and amen. All right, I'd like us to start from Ephesians 6:10. You know, just a scripture before we just ride along in it tonight. Ephesians 6:10. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. No more of the scriptures I'll be tonight, KJV, NLT, and maybe the Passion Translation. Hallelujah. Can we read this scripture together? Church, one, two, go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay, verse 11. Hallelujah. Okay, he said, put on. What did he say? Let's read together. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. He said, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, okay, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, okay, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying. Hallelujah. Can you see it now? You know, having done all those, now you're ready to pray. Glory to God. You know, the Bible speaks in that verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. And he went on to say, put on the whole armor of God. You know, and then he listed all the hammers that we expected to actually put on. And verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance. I'd like to first start by saying that the Bible didn't say that we need to be strong in ourselves. Neither did it say that we need to be strong in our own abilities. Neither did it say that we need to be strong in our consecrations or in our authority, but we need to be strong in the Lord. And that's the position God wants us to get to. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. So our sustenance in the kingdom is founded in the Lord and in the power of His might. Hallelujah. And God expects that we stay trusted and depending on Him as we walk our journeys. Let's just, you know, have that scripture in our hearts. You know, I will definitely get to refer to it, you know, as we go along today. Amen. So, I said to say to our heart that God requires that we are strong in Him and we are strong in the power of His mind. We are considering the prayer of intercession today, and then we would get to see how our responsibilities as believers and what God expects of us, you know, as Christians. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So I'd like to continue, you know, based on that scripture, that God requires that we put on the old armor, and then he's saying, praying with all prayers. You can keep that verse 18 on the screen. With all prayers in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just keep that verse 18 on the screen, you know, for us this evening. All right. He said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for what? For all saints. So I want us to see something, a very, very vital line item there. God wants us to pray for all saints. He wants us to pray for the church. It's our responsibility as believers to pray for the church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's a divine responsibility that we need to pray for the church. We need to pray for all saints. We're going to see that very shortly in 1 Timothy, you know, as we go ahead. I'd like to say and affirm again, you know, we've heard this, but I just want to affirm again to our hearts. You know, I just want to talk a bit again, you know, about what prayer is. Prayer is getting our desires to God to be met. Prayer is actually getting our desires to God to be met. You know, we all have desires, we all have expectations, but prayer is the privilege we have under God as our means of communication to communicate our desires, communicate our expectations, communicate what we want God to do, what we want to see, you know, in our nation, what we want to see in our city, what we want to see in our family, what we want to see in our government. Hallelujah. So prayer is getting our desires to God to be met. I like to also say that prayer is a spiritual exercise, and prayer is taking our place in the scheme of things of God. Prayer is not just a physical endeavor. Yeah, it requires us to, you know, commit our physical. Sometimes you want to pay, sometimes definitely your mouth has to move. You have to utter words, you have to declare God's word. But it's a spiritual exercise. Hallelujah. You know, it's a spiritual exercise. Prayer is a spiritual exercise, and definitely just means that we need the engagement of God, you know, to get our prayers communicated. Hallelujah. And prayer is taking our place in the scheme of things. Prayer is taking our place in the scheme of things. Prayer is saying that we get to enforce the counsel of God in this realm that we are praying. Hallelujah. Prayer is not just only getting into our Father's presence, but walking and living in His presence. Prayer is not just only getting to our Father's presence. It's not that thing we do when we want to just walk into our Father's presence, but it's actually living in our Father's presence. You can see that verse 18 of Ephesians 6. It says, praying always. Hallelujah. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We have emphasized that there are different kinds of prayers. Prayer of thanksgiving, you know, prayer of commitment, prayer of faith. You know, prayer of supplication. And tonight we're considering the prayer, you know, of intercession. So I'd like to further say, prayer is not just only getting to our Father's presence, but walking and living in His presence. Prayer is fellowshipping. Hallelujah. Are you together with me tonight? Prayer is fellowshipping with our Father God and carrying out His will on the earth. Prayer is fellowshipping with our Father God. You know, in the place of fellowship, we get to know. And in the place of the study of the Word of God, we get to know what is the counsel of God. And we can stand to enforce His counsel here on earth. Hallelujah. If we as believers do nothing about the counsel of God is not just going to jump at us into reality. No, we are the ones that will bring His will to bear. Hallelujah. We are His legal representative here on earth. And what we need to do is we understand what the will of God is and we get to enforce it. Enforce God's will in your family. Enforce God's will in your health. Enforce God's will in your business and your enterprise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen and amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I mean, we agree with me, you know. Our head can't take us further. We need God to take us further. Hallelujah. What I mean by that is, you know, we've tried by means of calculations, we've tried by means of logic, but logic can't take us further. We need God to take us further. Hallelujah. And God's will is the vehicle on which believers ride to get into His eternal purpose and counsel. God's will. And what do with God's will? We'll enforce it. We don't just know God's will for knowing sake. We bring it to bear in the place of prayer. Amen. You know what, church? Our nation needs prayer. Our cities needs prayer. Hallelujah. Our nation needs prayer. Our cities needs prayer. We need people that will stand as intercessors. Amen. Amen. We need to get involved in the place of intercession, in the place of enforcing our voting rights, in the place of standing in leadership, in the place of being involved in politics. We need to be involved. If believers don't change things, things are not going to change. God can at best do, or God can at best touch the earth to the extent to which believers are actually occupying. Jesus said to His disciples, occupy till I come. Hallelujah.
Amen. So we need to keep buying up spaces. We need to keep buying up grounds that the devil once took and stole. And that's our responsibilities. The more we can buy, the more God can spread his love. The more we can buy up, the more God can actually show forth how good he is. Glory to God. Amen. All right, so like I said, our nation indefinitely needs prayer. Our world indefinitely needs prayer. The church desperately needs prayer. Amen. I'll go back to that Ephesians 6 verse 18. But now I'd like to read it in the Amplified Classic. Ephesians 6 verse 18. Ephesians 6 verse 18. I read from here. It said, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. Hallelujah. I'm reading from the Amplified Classic. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding. Hallelujah. Interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. I'm reading this scripture to emphasize the fact that shortly I'm going to show us who God needs us to pray, how God needs us to pray, why God needs us to pray. You know, and this is one of the critical items that God has helped us to identify in the scripture. One of the people said that God needs us to pray is to pray for the church, pray for his people. It says, interceding in behalf of all the saints meaning the body of Christ, not just our own church, the Lighthouse, praying for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Because the body of Christ is the channel or vehicle to which God is going to bring his will to bear in the world. The church is the hope for our world. Hallelujah. Sometimes I like to say that the church is the last resort. Many times when things have gone uphill all over the place, institutions can't handle things, the final place is the church. Pastor Lumagbin, Uma, I don't even get into you about tonight. It's Pastor Dawood at the end of the day, sort out issues and sort out things. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You know, it's a church where we learn, you know, how to love, how to treat human, how to be human. You know, it's a church that would help us to actually position how to actually uphold, you know, the tenet of the nation. Hallelujah. So the church is God's vehicle. The church is God's instrument. And we need to keep praying for the church. Jesus' commitment to the church, I will build my church, the gate of hell will not prevail. So you can be sure that your prayers at least will get answered when you pray for the church. Amen and amen. Because there is a commitment of God to the church. There's a commitment of God to the church. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. You know, I've not actually started by identifying where you need to pray for yourself or this is it. Pray for the church. Pray for the church. And in praying for the church, all our individual needs definitely we shall be met. Amen. Amen and amen. So let's quickly get to see what kind of prayer God expects us to pray. I've identified who God needs us to pray for. You know, we'll pray for the church. What kind of prayer God expects us to pray? 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah. Please, I'm not seeing my timer. Just help me. Let me just tap the screen. What kind of prayer God wants us to pray? Let's read from 1 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I choose to lift your name on high. I lift your name like a banner in the sky. Oh, Lord, I lift your name on high. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I exhort therefore that what? I want us to first see that first. I exhort therefore that what? First of all. First of all, hallelujah. Are we seeing something tonight? It says, therefore, I exhort first of all. And if God is speaking through Paul to the church, I believe God is also speaking to the body of Christ. And this is an exhortation for the body. I exhort, first of all, that supplications, And then if we commit to putting first things first, I think we will see the hands of God and see results in our world and in our nation. Putting first things first. He said, I exalt first of all, first before you pray for yourself, first before you pray for your immediate family, first before you pray for your immediate church, first of all, the supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. Hallelujah. Previously in Ephesians 6, verse 8, we saw that God said we pray for all saints, right? Now we are seeing that God, he says, therefore, I exalt first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for what? All men. Let's go on, verse 2. We're going to verse 4. For kings. Can you see it now? In that time where Paul was referring, there were a couple kings. But in our own time, we could bring it home. Praying for our leaders. Praying for those in authority. Hallelujah. Praying for those in the Supreme Court. Praying for those in politics. Praying for those in government. Praying for those in institutions and parastatals. States parastatals. Government parastatals. Hallelujah. Private sector, public sector. For kings and all who are in what? In authority. And God gives us these counsels because we need to understand that praying in this respect is for our benefit, first of all. Hallelujah. Let's say it, that we may what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is what? For this is what? Good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Verse 4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. First and foremost, we pray, he said, that we may live peaceable and quiet lives. God understands that when nations is peaceful, there will be prosperity. The extent of prosperity that a nation experiences is dependent on the peace that is at work there. No wonder the Bible says, it said, I will lead you to peace and prosperity. Prosperity will always many times follow peace. Wherever there is turmoil and concerns, you can't actually count the nation as a wealthy nation. Hallelujah. So our responsibility as believers, we need to pray for all men. Let's go back to that verse 1, verse 2. I need this scripture. This seems to be even like the anchor scripture that I'll be using today. It says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Verse 2, for kings. Hallelujah. So our prayer should be premised every time, each time. This is what God recommends. Pray for kings. Pray for those in the hem of affairs. Hallelujah. The cause of the nation. The cause or what is in the heart of the leaders will actually be what will show up in the nation. If the leaders of any nation are bad people, the people in the nation can't enjoy the best that God really has for them. And if there can be a control, at that aim, at that top tier, definitely it's definitely going to flow down and show in the life of the people of the nation. Hallelujah. So if you can get things sorted in the place of authority and leadership, every other things will follow as God wants it to be. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So what are we to pray from that 1 Timothy chapter 2? The Holy Spirit emphasizes first things first. Before you pray for yourself, we need to pray for kings, pray for people that are in authority. Who are we to pray for? We pray for all men. We intercede for kings and leaders of our nation. Hallelujah. And the Bible clearly mentions that this is good for us to live peaceably. This is a good thing to do. Hallelujah. If it's a good thing to do, I think it's a God thing to do. For us to live peaceably and live peaceful lives. Hallelujah. And at this point, I'd like to say that God is not going to get us to pray for what he's not committed to actually answering. Amen. God is not going to get us to pray. He's not a wicked God. Neither is he a God that just wanted to gather us to waste our time. If he's asking us to pray, then it means he's also committing to answering our prayers. Are we getting me tonight? If he's instructing us to pray, if he's exhorting us to pray in this manner, in this light, he's also telling us that I'm committed to answering these prayers. Hallelujah. God is still in the business of hearing and answering prayers. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me just put this illustration quickly. You know, two people were praying and then seeking the face of God at the time. Somebody was just trusting the Lord for a loaf of bread. Lord, give me a loaf. I just want to be satisfied. You know, I just want to quench this hunger that I'm having. Somebody else went to God praying for a bakery. You know what God did? God definitely answered the guy with the bakery and sent the guy that was looking for a loaf to go and meet the baker. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. So the person that was actually asking and seeking the face of God for a bakery was, God, make me a blessing so I can bless others. Hallelujah. Are we seeing the perspective here tonight? So when God is saying, pray for kings, pray for your nation, he's not saying that your needs are not going to be met. In the meeting of the needs of the nations, definitely your own needs are going to be met. If the nation is at peace, your business will be at peace. If the nation is at peace, our enterprise is going to be at peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, see, I like to say this, that as believers, we have God's commitment so that every time we have an opportunity to pray, use God. How do I put it now? Don't underuse God or don't underutilize God by just praying for your own immediate needs. I don't know if you get how I mean. The same God that can answer your immediate needs can also answer the needs of your nation. Hallelujah. The same God that can answer your immediate needs can also answer the needs of the people around you. And God has not called us to just be family builders. He has called us to be nation builders, city builders, bridge builders. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen and amen. So like I said, God will not ask us to pray for what he will not answer or be ready to give. Our Heavenly Father is far more faithful than our earthly father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 7 verse 11, it says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? Hallelujah. You know, based on that scripture that I read, 1 Timothy, we cannot effectively preach or spread the gospel of peace where there is war or turmoil. We cannot effectively preach or spread the gospel where there is war or turmoil. In fact, the gospel we preach is the gospel of peace, and it tries more in a peaceful arena. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, look, think about it. Where there are wars or turmoils, you know, there are restrictions to movement, you can't travel. Praise the Lord. So no matter the vision in your heart that God is putting in your heart for souls, you can't actually go there, you know, to go save souls for the kingdom. So we cannot effectively preach or spread the gospel of peace where there is war or turmoil. And so we have to pray so that the devil does not waste the sweet souls Jesus died for. The devil will always want to create turmoils and wars and, you know, unrest so that the people that are appointed to be saved, hallelujah. You know, and those are sweet souls that God has, Christ Jesus came to die for. Amen. Amen. So I think I'm beginning to see that God is wanting us to get into that space where we war with peace and prosperity. Through prosperity, my city will spread abroad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we have the Prince of Peace. And he's called us to be peacemakers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for us to live a peaceable life and for the eternal will of God, which is the gospel message to be spread across, we need to actually get to pray. Amen. I've read Matthew chapter 7 verse 11 that God is faithful, you know, to even actually get to hear us. Matthew 24 verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. And you know what the devil is after? He doesn't want this end to come. And that's why he's trying to restrict the spread of the gospel. It's very simple. The moment the gospel is preached to the hands of the world, what are we waiting for? The hand shall come. So what is he doing? He's trying to delay, using delay tactics, putting up roadblocks, you know, to hinder the gospel. But he can't stop the gospel. The gospel is spreading abroad. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
The devil ain't going to stop the gospel. He can't even stop it. Amen and amen. So that's why we as believers, we must get to do the things we need to do. As many souls we can salvage for God, we get to salvage them. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, New Living Translation. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They might be intelligent, they might have the best of companies, but the devil has blinded their eyes. They might speak the best of finesse, English, or good English, but the devil has blinded their eyes. And we need, as believers, intercessors, we need to intercede for those people. We need to intercede for those people so that they can also come into the glorious light of the gospel and enjoy the things we enjoy. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about that you have the life of God? Aren't you glad about the things you enjoy in the kingdom? So we can at best bring more people into this kingdom, you know, as we stand to intercede for them. Amen and amen. The Passion Translation of that scripture, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, for their minds have been blinded by the god of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day-spring light of the gospel. So a good place to pray is, God, everyone still blinded in darkness, let them come to see the great light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our intercession. That's our prayer. Let everyone blinded, still blinded in this world, come to see the great light. Think about it. If everyone heading our top tier companies are believers, don't you think it's going to impact or show in our nation? It's going to show. It's going to show. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I've come to find out that one thing the devil does is this. He's comfortable having wealth in the hands of unbelievers. Now, these are two people that the devil is not even perturbed, you know, to allow wealth to come to their hands. Unbelievers and semi-believers that don't understand the purpose of God for the wealth in their hands. I don't know if you get me tonight. Because the unbelievers, with the wealth in their hands, they will always direct it to promote the agenda of the devil. And for the believers that don't have an understanding or deep purpose of what God has put wealth in their hands, they will definitely not direct it to the things that actually causes the gospel to expand and grow. Hallelujah. So the devil is really comfortable having wealth in the hands of all unbelievers and those that probably have not come to realize what exactly is the purpose of this wealth. Hallelujah. So that's why sometimes, many times, he wants to fight us or stand in the place of we having this wealth, prosperity. Because he knows that true prosperity, he cannot fight that scripture. True prosperity, my cities will spread abroad. Think about it. You get $1 billion today. Give Pastor I $1 billion today. I know he has it. Hallelujah. In material. There are some works of the devil that will just shut down. We will not even pray about some things again. Amen. There are some systems that will just... Do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So it says, for their minds have been blinded by the god of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the day spring light of the gospel. So we got to pray that they will come to see the light of the gospel. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, let me quickly move as we just get to try to bring this to a close. James chapter 5, verse 7 to 8. I'm reading from the King James Version. The Bible says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Don't forget, we are still talking about the prayer of intercession. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth. The precious fruit of the earth talks about the harvest. Hallelujah. The husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and had long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. Amen. I'm going somewhere with that tonight. Verse 8, it says, be ye also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've talked about what we need to pray for. God needs us to pray for all saints. God needs us to pray and intercede for kings, you know, and leaders. Hallelujah. God also needs us to pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And thank God, gladly, you know, what God has brought us into as a church, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In this year, amen and amen. And when he still needs to further pray about it,
The seed is the word of God, yeah? And it has to be sown. However, probably by satellite, you know, it has to be sown one way or the other. The seed of God's word has to be sown. The seed is the word of God and has to be sown by satellite, media platforms, our practical Christian lives, you know. But however, the seed may be good or the ground may be good, we still need the rain to make the seed to grow. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Paul speaking, he said, I planted, Apollos water, but the Lord grants and gives the increase. So the Holy Spirit in this is a type of the water and the rain. Amen and amen. And we need to pray that God will send His Spirit. As the word of God is being planted as the seed across the nations of the world, the Holy Spirit will cause His word to germinate. Amen and amen. And one of the things we need to stand in the place of prayer is to intercede that there will be a massive or more outpouring of God's Spirit. Amen. For increase in the kingdom. Hallelujah. So like I said, however good the word of God is, however good the ground might be, there needs to be rain. If there is no rain, there won't be any crop. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1 says, pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Pray, pray. Can we see that scripture, Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1? It said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. Hallelujah. Did we see that? Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Amen. I'm trying to bring our hearts to understand what exactly are we to intercede for. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so that the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers, you know, of rain to everyone grass in the field. Amen and amen. And now when we pray for God to outpour His Spirit, we also believe, like I said, the seed is the word of God is God's seed. The Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, causes the seed to germinate, you know, causes their big crops. We also need to stand as intercessors. It's a chain. We also need to stand as intercessors for God to send laborers to harvest. Are we together this evening? Matthew chapter 9 verse 38. We need to also pray and intercede for laborers. Matthew chapter 9 verse 38, reading from the New Living Translation. It says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. There is a spirit of the Lord of the harvest. Hallelujah. And also we need to stand to intercede that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the field to harvest souls. Glory to God. It says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge. I'm glad that God is in charge of the harvest. He's in charge of the harvest. Hallelujah. It says, so pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask Him to send more workers into His field. Ask Him to send more workers into His field. Amen. Talking on politics concerning our nation, I like to say tonight that we are not going to turn things around by criticizing, but rather by interceding. We are not going to turn things around just by criticizing, but rather by interceding. And we have got to use our authority, our voting rights to turn things around. God's will must be done in our nations, and He can only do as much through us. Hallelujah. God's will must be done in our nations, and He can only do as much through us. Amen and amen. You know, like I read in that 1 Timothy chapter 2, our prayers always turn out for our benefit, that you may live peaceful life. Our prayers always turn out for our benefit and for the ultimate purpose of God, God's will to be manifested, which is that the gospel will get to all the world, and His desire to have all men saved will come to fruition. Hallelujah. Amen. So having seen why and whom He wants us to pray, why talking about the harvest, who He wants us to pray for, talked about we need to pray for all saints, we need to pray for kings, we need to pray, you know, for kings, we need to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. We also need to see how He wants us to pray, which definitely I've been mentioning along. He wants us to pray. You know, when we see that scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 2, it talks about how He wants us to pray. Supplications, prayer, and intercessions. Supplications, prayer, and intercession. So intercession is a major vehicle, you know, by which we need to bring God's will to bear. I've mentioned that already. Who is an intercessor? Actually, who is an intercessor? An intercessor is one that takes the place of another. Hallelujah. An intercessor is one that takes the place of another. An intercessor is one that pleads the case of another. Amen. So as intercessors, we stand to take the place of another. We stand to plead the case of another. At this point, I'd just like us to run. You know, we see in Genesis the story of Abram praying for a city. It shows that God also is interested in cities, was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah. Hallelujah. When we read that story in Genesis 18, verse 20, 21, and verse 28 to 32, you know, God will point where Abram was praying, standing as an intercessor, having conversation with God. And he was bringing back the number. He got to a place where he told God, if you're going to see or get 10 righteous people in this land, you know, are you going to withhold your hand? I also believe that if Abraham pushed further and told God, God, if you can get one righteous, God will also still hold his hand. Hallelujah. He will still always. He just seeking for a man. Ezekiel chapter 20 verse 32. I sought for a man. I sought for a man that would just stand on the gap. Hallelujah. It's not God's will to destroy people or destroy cities. It's God's will to have all men saved. But he can't do anything if there are no intercessors. He can't do anything. So, intercession holds back the hands of judgment. Intercession holds back the hands of wrath. And that was what Abraham got into. Praying. He was able to hold back the hands of judgment. Things that were normally supposed to, happen, you know, in demise of probably people's behavior or attitude, the hands of intercession or an intercessor can actually stand to wave that off. Hallelujah. God just needs a voice. God just needs a voice. Someone that is just going to stand, you know, for the people. Amen and amen. You know, there's an important principle that I see that I want us to actually learn, you know, with Abraham here. An important principle here is that Abraham humbled himself. He humbled himself. If you read that scripture, Abraham actually went before the Lord, humbled himself, and prayed on behalf of the people. You know, James chapter 4, verse 8 said, draw nigh unto God, I draw nigh to you. We see in 2 Corinthians 7, 14, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Hallelujah. He didn't say, if sinners, if my people that are called by my name, God recognizes our voices and he wants to hear us. Hallelujah. Like I said, God is faithful and committed to hear our prayers. All we need to do is to stand as intercessors, carry the burdens of cities and nations to the Lord in prayer, and definitely the hands of judgment will be lifted. Hallelujah. Are we together this evening? So in spite of the author's sin and wickedness and sexual impunity and impurity, you know, that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were into, God was going to spare them because of an intercessor. God was going to spare them because of an intercessor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wow. So in intercession, we can hold back judgment and bring about an extension of life. We can change things and situations when we take our place in intercession. We can turn curses around. We can stand in the gap for lands and nations and cities through intercession. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless you tonight. Thank you because your word holds strong in our nation. Your word holds strong in our cities. Your word holds strong in our homes. Your word holds strong in our families. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. thank you because you are about getting more souls into the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. 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 Rusha balabaye brolo mokizu pragi mashabro baba yododi bayadadama. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Let me just say some few things and then we just get to pray tonight. The Bible speaks in James chapter 1 verse 17. It says, all good and perfect gift comes from God. The turmoils, the murders, the violence we see in our world are not from God. They are from the devil. God needs us to stand as intercessors, to wave up the hands of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen. All good and perfect gift comes from God. God can only intervene when we Christians seek His face, when we pray and intercede. Somebody's asking me, should all of us be intercessors? Yes, we all need to be intercessors. There are no specific intercessors. Everyone should be part of the intercessory assignment. Hallelujah. It's just that some people exercise it more than the others. That's why he says that some people actually, you know, they've gained mastery. They've used up grace in the room of intercession. Hallelujah, in the room of intercession. We all need to be intercessors. God wants all of us to be intercessors. Hallelujah. And I like to say that sometimes when you actually bear the burdens of people in prayer, you feel their infirmities. Sometimes when you get to pray for people that are sick, sometimes you kind of feel, you know, some measure of the infirmity. You feel sick. It's not you being sick. You're actually bearing the bodies of people. Hallelujah. Sometimes you just feel like, you know, a weight of sin is upon you when you go into place of prayer, bearing the bodies of people. And when you take our time in the place of prayer to pray that through, you know, it's sure going to be lifted. Hallelujah. That burden is sure going to be lifted. Amen and amen. And I'd like to actually emphasize tonight that, you know, looking from Romans chapter 8 verse 6, there are certain things we know to pray about, you know, as put up in that scripture. I mean, First Timothy, we see that pray for kings, you know, pray for rulers. The Holy Spirit helps us to actually also get to know or pray to the pray out the things that we actually don't know about. Hallelujah. Pray things out in the future. Pray things out, you know, concerning our nation. Pray things out that are acting out as prophecy. We see, you know, Daniel actually took our time to pray the passion and the burden of God. Daniel chapter 9 verse 2. Daniel understood by books and he went to the place of prayer. He brought the counsel of God to bear. He knew that the restoration that God has set out, it was time. And he had to actually stand in the place of prayer to bring that to bear. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit partners with us in the place of intercession. Praise out the will of the Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't pray without us. He prays with us. Amen and amen. You wouldn't see the Holy Spirit going about probably saving souls. No. The Holy Spirit will always use men to accomplish the will of God and purpose of God on the earth. Hallelujah. We see in the Bible, the Holy Spirit, you know, steer the heart of Philip. Join yourself to that chariot. Hallelujah. You know, to activate the saving of souls. The Holy Spirit is not going to do it without us. He's doing it with us. Glory to God. Can we rise to our feet? A lot to say, but for time tonight. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Let's just see that scripture as we just get to pray. We're just going to take out some time to pray out the counsel of God concerning our nation. You know, pray out the counsel of God concerning our city tonight. Let's just have that scripture. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. Romans chapter 8 verse 26. The Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. Yes, certain times we know what to pray, but we don't know how we ought to pray. It says, but the Spirit Himself makes, can you see it? He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. And I want us to take this burden beyond this place tonight. You know, as the Holy Spirit begins to stir our hearts to pray out the counsel of the Lord, pray out the will of the Lord, pray out the purpose of God concerning our nations, concerning our city, I'd like to tell you tonight, God is interested in cities. God is interested in nations. He wants all men to be saved. And He's calling us to come into that room of intercession. You know, and there is grace for intercession. There is grace for this assembly. Allah, cause we just yield our hearts over to the Lord as we just pray. We just pray now the will of God. Pray now the counsel of God. Pray now the purpose of God for our nation. Pray now the counsel of God. Pray now the will of God. Pray now the counsel of God. Pray now the will of God. Bele prato machine grete meke sobre di makalabade. Ende proctu vicalo brokti masam brodo moko suvinina.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,